Mind Grenade episode 361. I'm your host, Hector. And on this episode, we sing the praises of one of our favorite bands, Sublime. Sublime, the 90s ska punk reggae rock band whose shirts can be seen lately adorned by Gen Zers. Gen Zers that would have a difficult time identifying a Sublime song out of a lineup of songs, which is partly responsible for inspiring this episode. So Jason, JC, and I are huge fans of Sublime. And we thought it'd be fun to get together and create like a primer, a starter kit, beginner's guide playlist for someone who's interested in getting to the band, but wasn't sure where to start. So we got the inspiration also from a podcast that we're fans of, that me and Jason are fans of and have been guests on. It's Justin Wilson's Deprogrammed. Deprogrammed is a music podcast where the primary goal is to create a starter kit, an introductory playlist that was representative of the band that they were spotlighting, so that if there was someone who was interested in getting into that band and taking a deep dive, this playlist would be a nice little entry point. So I got to give all the credit to Justin over at Deprogrammed for coming up with this awesome format. We've been wanting to do this for a while, me and Jason, but we were kind of hesitant because we didn't want to just be ripping other people's ideas off. But this is a tribute to you, Justin, and I want to send anyone who's a big music fan over to Deprogrammed. There's over 400 episodes with just about every band, every musician, every singer-songwriter, and he keeps churning out more episodes, and they're a lot of fun. So yeah, go check out Deprogrammed anywhere podcasts are found. And you know, before we move on, I just want to give a shout out. It's a long overdue shout out to someone who was interacting with the Mind Grenade podcast Facebook page, Buff Stage. It's a cool fucking name. I was doing that question that I've done a dozen times on the podcast, which is, what are your two favorite bands? One has to be a band that broke prior to you being born, and the other band is one after you were born. And Buff's favorite bands were Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, which was before, and the band POD, which is after he was born. Which, with the name Buff Stage, it sounds like you could have been in the band POD. I have to get behind your choice with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, because that's one of my favorite bands of all time. I did see Tom Petty back in like 98, and it was just fantastic. So it's one of those bands that I'm grateful that I caught prior to the untimely passing of Tom Petty. So I just thanks for chiming in, Buff, and means a lot to everyone listening, subscribing, interacting with us on Facebook, on Twitter, on all the social media. So without further ado, let's get into this. Let's get into some Sublime. Wouldn't it be Sublime? So the way this works is that we're trying to create a playlist for a, it's a beginner's playlist, essentially. I was a guest on a podcast called Deprogrammed. It's hosted by a good guy, Justin, and the whole premise of the podcast is to create a playlist for somebody who's interested in a band, but they need a way in. And on Justin's podcasts, they get two super fans along with Justin, the host, and each person comes with 20 songs from that band. They have a Sublime. So right here, I want to just give props to Justin and his great idea for a podcast, because I've been on it 3 times as a guest. I was on there for Lana Del Rey, Metric, and The Shins. And Jason, you were on there for?
The Offspring and Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah. Awesome bands. Jason, we went to an Offspring concert that also had Sublime and Rome, right? Was the same concert, right, mm-hmm. in St. Louis? That was a great show. The Offspring were just awesome. Like I said, I want to give props out to Justin on the program, and Jenny Zell, who is on there often. She introduced us to Deprogrammed, and then we ended up being guests on that show. And Jason, you and I on this podcast on Mind Grenade, we've talked about doing this. We just kind of felt guilty stealing somebody else's idea for a podcast.
Yeah.
But we figured we'd make sure to give credit to that podcast and send people over there, because it's a great podcast. If you're a fan of, I'm trying to think of other bands that have been on there. It's tons of different bands have dedicated episodes to creating a playlist just for that band. It's fun. It creates conversation about, you know, people get excited about talking about their favorite songs. And so the way it works is we'll present our songs. We'll go in a circle. JC, you'll go first since you're the guest on the podcast. And you tell us one of your songs, and then Jason will go, and then I'll go. And if more than one of us, if two or three of us have the same song on our lists, then that goes on this ultimate playlist that we're trying to create. So let's see what else. I'm trying to think. Okay, so the way they start on Deprogrammed is that they discuss real quick their, essentially their origin stories of being a fan of the band. So I'll start with JC. And just briefly, JC, kind of tell us kind of your introduction to Sublime.
So I actually worked at a pizza place. And, you know, it was right around 1997, 98. So, you know, a lot of the songs that they were playing were already on the radio. And you can kind of hear we were making pizzas. And I had a guy, a buddy of mine, my buddy Neil, he's like, man, Sublime's the best band ever. And, you know, he's blah, 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 blah. We were kind of rivals. So I was like, man, Sublime sucks.
Fuck you.
yeah, man, Sublime's trash. And then he's like, no, man, you got to listen to this one song. So I was like, fine, I'll listen, whatever, you know. And he played, which is going to be my first song that I wanted to say, was DJs. So he played DJs. And I must have been in just in the right spot at the right time where that just hit perfect. We used to do bonfires in the desert out in Arizona, and we would go in the middle of nowhere and burn crates, and we would just park our cars around it, and he put that song on, and, you know, with a couple drinks and a little bonfire in the Arizona heat, something happened where that song just really rung really strong into the moment, and little by little, I started listening a little bit more of their songs. But yeah, DJs. His first song that I wanted to at least introduce from the 40 Ounces of Freedom album.
Right. And and Sublime would probably be your favorite band or
so,
out there?
You know, it keeps on going back and forth with them and Blink 182.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Jason is a big Blink 182 fan.
I love him, man. It's weird because, and I think I said it to you the other day, this is my favorite song. Until the next song plays.
That's
how Sublime is. When I listen to Sublime, it's very similar to that. It's like, oh my God, I love DJs. And then Date Rape comes on. You're like, oh my God. Like, you know, you start going song after song. And then it's just, it's amazing, man.
Yeah, it's real fun. It does always lighten my mood when I hear a Sublime song. So Jason, how about you? And you guys are around the same age, you guys. JC, you're born in 80 and Jason in 81. So you guys are about the same age. So you guys were about the same age when you guys were introduced to Sublime, I would guess. But Jason, give us your introduction to Sublime.
So my first introduction was actually because when that self-titled album came out is when they started getting radio play across the United States and not just in around California. Mm-hmm. So that's how I was introduced to their music at first. And I was like, oh, this is a really interesting sound because it combines genres of music. Of course, I like a lot of genres of music, but it combines genres of music that I like, which is like punk, ska punk, reggae, and rock, right? So those are their four major genres that they create music with. And so I was like, oh, I like this combination of sound. And it wasn't until a friend of mine who actually shares my name, he bought the self-titled album. And then he bought another album, and then I started listening to entire albums with him, and that's when I was like, oh, okay, so they're more than just what these two songs I'm hearing on the radio. And I started getting into them and started hearing some of those songs that they weren't playing on the radio, like Caress Me Down and stuff like that, weren't getting a lot of radio play at the time, mm-hmm. because you'd have to bleep up half the song. So, you know, so for its content, especially back in the 90s. So, yeah, immediately I was like, I like this. And especially I think the self-titled album released in the summer, which is perfect because JC alluded to listening to this band around around a fire out in the desert or whatever. And that's exactly the vibe this music mm-hmm. gives off, is that you're sitting by a beach down by a boardwalk around a fire and then just hanging out
with a bunch of friends. Them. Yeah.
Yeah. And them, yeah. I think that's what so unique about them is a lot of this music, it feels like it has an ambient to it to where you do feel like you're hanging out with the band mm-hmm. where you're just chilling, you know, smoking whatever with them, and they're just telling you stories and playing music.
Yeah.
It's a very chill mode.
Yeah,
in their
party
music.
Vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with me, it was that summer '96. I was in the Air Force already. So I was like 18 or 19, probably 19, and It was starting to blow up with that self-titled album, which I'm going to take this opportunity to bring up some trivia that I had for this episode specifically. Apparently, okay, so as we all know, Bradley Knoll died of a heroin overdose he died of a heroin overdose, and that album came out a couple months later. Sadly, he left his wife and his newborn kid behind. And the name of the album, the self-titled album, was supposed to be called Killing It, like K-I-L-L-I-N, It. And I didn't know that till we were prepping to do this episode. Did you guys know that at all? No,
I had heard that before.
Oh, really? Did you
forgotten about it?
Yes. No, yeah. I didn't. Which would have been in bad taste because he had just died.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I get the vibe. If he hadn't died, I was like, yes, that album. Yeah. They were killing it because that album's fantastic.
Yeah.
I remember in Arizona. I was stationed in Arizona, even though we had gone to high school there. I was still stationed. I got stationed back home, and I remember I was living on base, and I had the radio station there in Arizona were playing What I Got and Santeria, and MTV was playing the shit out of it, dude. And it was one of those things where I was like, oh, this is, and then it grabs you, eventually, you're like, and it draws you in. And the next thing you know, you're a fucking hardcore fan. And no matter what mood I'm in, if I'm in a so-so mood or melancholy mood or even in a good mood, Sublime always puts me in a better mood. And I have just fond memories of hanging out with friends. There's that intro to Bad Fish where it's the audio of a party. You can hear beer bottles clanging and mm-hmm. somebody going, hey, what's up? And I was like, man, I've been to so many parties just like that, where whenever I hear it, I'm like, it takes me back to parties where you're just, enjoying. There's a lot of the Bob Marley influence in it. There's the island life kind of vibe to it too. But, yeah, man. You go from one album to the next, and you discover 40 Ounces to Freedom, and then you discover Robin the Hood, and then you keep going. And it's just been, it's definitely in my top five favorite bands of all time. Always. It's never, I don't listen to it as much as I did, but it's never dropped off my top five. And I'm thinking, let's see, origin stories. Okay, so the next thing to get into, I'm trying to remember how the program goes. What was it like, JC, to put this list together? Like, what did you, how many songs did you start out with before whittling it down to 20, and how difficult was it? And
it was very difficult. I went ahead and I got all the songs all in a row, mm-hmm. kind of in a big playlist, mm-hmm. and one by one, I went through and I think I started off with 98 songs, and I was like, all right, so I it was all 98 that I love, right? And I was like, oh, I gotta subtract some of these, and some of them are like live versions, and I got like triple versions of, you know, this is the way they sing it at the album, this is where they sing it live, this is where they sing it live in a different location. And I like every single one, just
there's nuances. Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, so I can't, let me take this off. Right. And then little by little, I went through the first time, got 98 songs, went through it again, got 78, went through it again, had about 60. So I went through it probably 8 times before I was able to get down to 20. And wow. The difficult part was 40 and below. I just couldn't. There was like songs. I was like, no, this is it. Like, there's no. I can't go any lower than this. But you, like you said before, this is for these individuals that maybe want to listen to something new, something fresh. How do you get it into the door? What are those first level songs that you want them to get into? The second level stuff. The first will get them
yes.
in. All the second stuff will get them in later.
Yeah.
So it was very difficult, and even down to 21. I had 21. I'm like, I'm not taking more and more down, off, man.
I got down to 21 as myself, but I'll let Jason. Jason, how about you?
Yeah. So I started off with an approach of, okay, so what are some of these songs, even though they may be some of the most popular songs, that are quintessential, that we're like, well, you got to have them mm-hmm. on here for one way or another, whether, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, whether, like, for instance, Date Rape, like, what, that was the song that really propelled their career, because that was the first one they got on the radio in California and started building their fan base. And you're like, okay, so song didn't age well, but still that needs to be on the list. So that kind of stuff. So I started with that, and then I struggled after that, and I'm like, okay, so how do I cut down? And so I broke my own rule, I think, a little bit, to try to get the rest of the 20, which is I started picking out songs that have a little bit of a variety to them, but also are some of my favorites, because I struggled with some of the reasoning to fill out the rest of it. And I'm like, okay, this song has a little bit of a hip hop vibe to it. So, but this one doesn't, but this song's better. Mm-hmm. And so I got too much into the weeds there with all that crap. So I was like, okay, all right, let's just break your own rule to get this list and say, which of these songs do I think are better? And then that's how I finished it off. So, which is something I don't want to do, but I was like, I'm never going to get this list 20 if I don't have an approach here to finish this out. So I tried to do both songs that I thought were good, that somebody who was just introducing the band would feel that way, but also some songs that have a little bit of a different sound than some of the ones that, you know, the three that may play on the radio all the time.
Yeah. For me, I did start with a bunch of them, probably twice as many. I might have had like 40 or something like that. I try to have a good variety of stuff that has to be in there. Represent, enough of their albums, just a broad representation of the band for, you know, I try to think back to when I was getting into it as well. Try to have a couple acoustic songs in there. But then, like, there were some songs that I felt that the studio version is a stronger than the acoustic song, even though I like the acoustic song. So, yes. So it was pretty difficult to put this list together and try to keep as many songs that I love, but it, you know, the mission statement is to make a 20 song playlist for a beginner. So, we'll get going. So I think JC already kind of broke the dam a little bit with, DJs, but go ahead, JC, tell us about this song. You did mention 40 Ounces of Freedom is where that song came from.
Yeah. So DJs, you know, I've heard their music previously in a bunch of different places, and it's just never hit me right. DJs came out, or at least I heard it. And of course, going back to 40 Ounces, which is pretty much almost her first album before the big popular, you know, self-titled album. I really didn't listen to self-titled album. I listened a lot to their first or the 40 Ounces album. And that song came out and I listened to it and I was just like, man, this is great. And then I started listening to that over and over and over again on my disc player. And it started leaking into other songs, It just reminds me of a great time in my life in high school, you know, just getting into high school and really linking in with music and other people and people that maybe weren't like me, but they were listening to, you know, those kind of songs. You know, you get more of a little bit of skaterish kind of alternative folks that are listening to that. You know, before that I was listening to Tupac and Biggie and that kind of music and Bone Thugs and Harmony. You know, some,
it's the first
some
of the month.
Yeah, man, some smooth music, you know, some R&B stuff I was listening to. And you get into that song, you're like, man, this is pretty good. And it's kind of crazy because it starts leaking into different people that like that music too. And then before you know it, you're friends with everybody, you know?
That music too had a, like, they would reference like KRS-One.
Yes, yes.
And the Beastie Boys would get kind of like little shout outs here and there.
Well, the crazy part is that he had Eazy-E on a lot of his songs. And I was like, dude, I freaking love Eazy-E, man.
The sampling, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was pretty neat for, especially for me, because I was so big into rap that having some of that mixed into this, it made it so much better.
All right, what do you think, Jason? Is that on your list?
I don't have DJs. Okay. I have Boss DJ, but I don't have DJs.
Hurts my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This might be my favorite song, and it is on my playlist.
Okay.
DJ. So this one makes it onto the playlist. If I remember how this game works, I'm pretty sure that's how it works. So I have DJs on there.
There was about three songs where I thought, when I eliminated from my list, that I thought probably I would get, I would be the third out. And I was like, you know what, that's part of the game, so.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of them, so.
40 Ounces is a strong album, because is that not, I went from all their albums, including the side projects and stuff, but the main studio albums are 40 Ounces, the self-titled, killing. I'm gonna start calling it "Killing It" from here on out. Killing It, the self-titled, and then Robin the Hood. Right? Is that the order?
Robin the
I'm pretty
Hood,
sure. Yeah.
No, I think Robin Hood came out second.
Oh, really? And then
yeah, it was second. Yes.
Yes, that would make sense. Yeah. Okay, so Jason, it's your turn. What do you want to go with?
Let's go with April 29th, 1992. The whole personal tale of the Sublime engaging in arson, vandalism, robbery, and such during the LA riots.
Yeah, I love this song. It's one of my favorites. Go ahead, though, if you want to talk more about it.
Yeah, no, this song, it's like, it not only like it's like a timepiece, but it tells a story, the band. And I don't even know if this is true, but I had heard that some of the instruments they play on this song were actually stolen during the riots. Which is like adds a whole new flavor to it. I don't know if that's true or not, but I heard something about that.
It's actually in the song.
And the lyrics.
Is it in the song?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's why I heard it from the song. I was like, I remember this from somewhere.
The guitar he's playing was still. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the lyrics.
So that's crazy. That's awesome. So like, yeah, it's such a big part of history of the 90s.
Yes.
Not only the band, but they're telling a piece of history that they experienced themselves. Yeah.
Sure.
So like, yeah, it's gotta be in there. And it's just done too.
Not only were they intimately part of it, but like we all were hearing we all knew about that. The riots in LA, and that, at the end of the song, he starts shouting out the different cities and stuff that, are experiencing similar situations. I don't have that on my, even though that's one of my favorite songs of theirs, it's not on mine. What about you, Jason? Okay. Or JC?
That's on here. Yeah.
All right. It's
such a great song, man. And it just takes you through a story, and that's the fun part about it, you know? You just kind of go through, you're like, oh yeah, there's a riots in the streets, tell me, where were you? And it's like, whoa, you know where I was? So you start linking into it. Not only just like lyrically, but you start linking into it like personally. Like, where was I? 1992. Oh, you know what? And then he starts saying all the cities.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's
you know.
It's a great musically too. It's din, 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 din. Mm-hmm. It's great stuff. So that one makes it onto our playlist so far. April 29th, 1992. Okay, so it's my turn to add a song to the conversation. I kind of alluded to it before. I have a feeling this song's probably going to be on all three of ours. I did say DJ's was my favorite, but this is also my favorite. It's Bad Fish, mm-hmm. which I named my Sublime playlist after. It's Bad Fish, and like I said, it really kind of takes you back to. And you know, there's nostalgia definitely attached to this band, but like, I think you could play that today at a party, mm-hmm. you know, for young people, and they'll still kind of get the it's such great lyrics in it too. And there's a guitar solo. This is a thing too I like about when we were preparing or putting our playlist together, going back listening to these songs, for being kind of an indie band, because they were having a hard time getting signed on, and I don't even think they were trying very hard to get signed by a major music company.
I think if they were a band now, maybe they wouldn't have signed with a big record label. Yeah. But back when they were trying to get going, like it wasn't a have to, but man, without a big label pushing you, it was really hard to really get momentum into the mainstream. So I think it was kind of like when MCA approached them.
Yeah.
It was like a label under MCA. Mm-hmm. I think at first it like fell apart. They were annoyed with them because, you know, they didn't treat them. They were just like, they let him wait for a long time. I even think he let his dog shit in one of the offices because he didn't go anywhere with that dog.
Yeah.
But I think after a second attempt, they got that signed. Okay. And that's when the self-titled album came out, and they got some of their bigger name producers to help them out with their music on that.
Yeah. Because I think there was a quote of one of them saying, like, they played so many, like, backyard parties. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's how really they were getting their sound out there. But just the production quality on a song like Bad Fish, like, I was listening to the guitar solo in that song, and they start putting effects. I mean, it's a great guitar solo, but the effects that they put on it, like a kind of like an echoey kind of some kind of atmospheric thing that they put on that gives it more life. And I fucking love that song. It's one of my all-time favorites. How about you guys? Did that make it onto your guys' playlist?
Of course.
Oh yeah. This is one of my favorite songs too. I think it's a great, great Sublime song.
Yeah. I usually name my playlist Bad Fish. I name all my playlists. And
I think one of their major tribute bands is actually, they named themselves Bad Fish, if I'm not incorrect.
Yeah. All right, so that one makes it on. This is going to be a solid playlist, I have a feeling. So far, it's starting very strong.
Yeah, and that song's on 40 Ounces to Freedom, right? Bad Fish, isn't that the album that song's on? I think that album was recorded in a like academic studio album, like somewhere where, like somebody was going to school, and then they gave them access to like late at night this to an academic, so they had like an actual studio. And I want to say like the second album was like in this rundown hurricane damaged home is where they recorded the second one or something like that. It has a great sound to it. It survived 30 plus years, and it still sounds great.
All right, JC, it's your turn
For that song or another song?
No, another. You provide one from your playlist.
The next one I wanted to put on there was Boss DJ. But it's the live version from Acoustics, from their Sublime Acoustic. That Boss DJ, again, it's every song that we've talked about is my favorite song until I listen to another one. And that's one of those songs that I listen to, Boss DJ, that really, really rings loud in my ears when I listen to it, man. It's just, again, you know, being 18, 19, or hell, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old in high school, bonfires, the way we partied in Arizona, maybe some house parties every once in a while, but all of these songs always remind me of some great time that I had with, great memories that I had with a lot of my close friends back in high school. So yeah, Boss DJs is my next song.
Is that on yours, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of the best tracks on Robin the Hood. And it's like, it's a song about like playing and enjoying music. Mm-hmm. It's like right up Brad Neal's like alley. Yeah. You're just talking about music and playing it and enjoying it. And, mm-hmm. you know, Laurie talks about was playing the same song twice because mm-hmm. he loves it so much.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Boy, that's okay. Now it just brought me back in because mine is the Robin Hood version on my, so this song's making it onto the playlist. Mm-hmm. But I went back and did I pick the live or the studio? It looks like I picked the Robin the Hood version is the live, not the live, but the studio version, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine. But yes, the playing the same song twice. I fucking love that because there are songs like that where you're like, I love this shit so much that I'm going to play it right again over. And I do have specific memories of driving with friends, drinking in the cornfields, you know. So that one makes it onto my list. I'm not sure how we're going to do with the, since Jason, you picked the acoustic and me and Jason picked the Robin the Hood, since more than just one of us picked.
It's a win-win situation.
So I'm going to just go ahead and pass this one on to make it on there.
Gotcha.
Boss DJ. Man. So let's see. So Jason, it's your turn.
Let's go with the 90s, one of the 90s weed smoking anthems, which is actually covered by the Toys, but Smoke Two Joints was something that was very iconic for Sublime back then.
That is not on mine, but no. I do represent the ganja genre on my playlist, but that one in particular did not make it onto my, but I take it, JC, it's on yours.
Yeah. So yeah, that's, you know, I really didn't partake in the weed smoking in high school. I always had an excuse that I was going to join the military. So that was kind of my, not wanting to smoke weed. Not that I didn't do it. I did it a couple of times, but mostly I did a little bit of drinking back in high school, and then I joined the military, and of course I can't do it anymore. But that song is so awesome. It's still awesome. I listen to it. It's we always count how many joints he smoked.
Yes, right. Yeah. It's insane.
You can't help it.
It gets up there.
I smoked two joints before. I smoked two joints. Then I smoked two more.
Yeah. So it's funny. Is that my fun. My daughter and I listen to that song, and we love that. It's such a great song, even though you don't have to be a weed smoker to kind of enjoy it. The rhythm of it's badass, man. So yeah, that's definitely on my list.
All right, so that makes it on here.
And did you know that that the beginning portion of that, you know what movie it comes from?
Or it's like a Cheech and Chong movie, right? Yeah, with three other individuals.
Valley of the Dolls.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's a movie trivia. Called Valley of the Dolls. Okay. It was a weird like hippie movie. It was a really weird movie.
I've heard of it. I've never watched it. It's one of those movies you hear about from back in the day.
So odd. And I'm watching it, listening to the background. All of a sudden,
I had no clue. You're like, whoa.
I had no clue. Yeah, and I was like, what the hell? Like, this is it. This is where it's from, you know? It was pretty awesome. Valley of the Dolls.
So it's my turn, right? Yeah, let's see here. So I'm going to go, I guess we'll keep it in that realm. My song that I want to contribute is Let's Go Get Stoned off of 40 Ounces to Freedom. How about you guys? Is that on your guys's?
That was one of my final cuts.
Yeah, that was a cut of mine.
Okay, so that one doesn't make it on. At least we're representing all the stoners out there.
Yep.
All right. So now it's JC's turn.
Let's see here. Where can I go? I have some special ones I want to keep on here, but let's go with the classic, man, 40 ounces to freedom.
What do you think, Jason?
That was also a final cut of mine.
But guess what? It's on my list.
Nice.
So it makes it on. That song is fucking great. And that album, I think I got more out of my fandom. Like, the trajectory of, like, getting introduced, listening to the self-titled album, and then discovering 40 Ounces, and then just listening to the fuck out of that album. Because it's a lengthy album,
yeah,
and it's got a lot to pick from. It's got a lot to just, like, chew on. And the title track is fucking great. That's the song where he's talking about his dad's a dick and finding roaches in the pot, mm-hmm, and like walk, like he just goes down his day to day, and yes, just fucking fantastic. There's like interstitials in it where you can hear him talking to the like band, like let's go to the A&P or whatever, yeah. And like, yeah, it's I love that album. Has a it's sample heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But it just gives it more atmosphere, more, I don't know, it gives it more character. All the sampling doesn't, they don't overdo it. It just, yeah, gives it more, I don't know, layers. And so 40 Ounces makes it on. And I recommend, you know, like I recommend, if I were going to recommend, I'm going to recommend this playlist we're making first, but to jump in an album, it's probably going to be 40 Ounces or the self-titled, and then Robin the Hood last, even though I love Robin the Hood as well. There's some good shit on there. But so it is Jason's turn.
Okay, I'm going to go with one that's not going to surprise anybody, and I'm going to go with Pawn Shop. And the reason I'm going with Pawn Shop isn't, yes, it's a song that a lot of people recognize, but it kind of, it tells you a little bit of a story of kind of Bradley Nowell and his struggles with heroin in a way, because he was notorious for taking some of their band equipment to the pawn shop, pawning it off for drug money, and then their manager would have to go try to recoup That's the fun. Equipment before yeah. the next show and get it back.
Yeah, yeah. It's not on mine. I don't think. I'm pretty sure it's on JC's.
No, actually, it's not.
Oh wow,
that was okay. one of the final cuts.
Last cuts, right? Yeah. It's not on mine either. But man, what a good story though. That because he was he laid it out all in his music. Like we're probably gonna come to a couple songs where it gets a little real with mm-hmm. his struggles, mm-hmm. but.
The cool part That's, about that Pawn Shop song is that, again, a lot of the stuff they talk about is a lot of struggles that we all kind of deal with. So we can always reconnect them. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You and I, Hector, just life in general with our parents making crazy decisions early on and, you know, yeah. having to do kind of not live in, you know, living in poverty and stuff like that. Those, you know, you can look into what he's saying and say, you know what, I've been down that road before. You know, mm-hmm. so a lot of his songs are like that. That's what's cool. Like
yeah.
even the joint song, right? Like yeah. we probably all had that night where we smoked way too yeah. many joints and
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
could have been 16 of them. I don't know.
Is that you still doing the math?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. If I did it, I don't remember it, which would probably mean I did it, I guess. I don't know.
All right. So, Pawn Shop, let's see. And is it my turn now, Jason? Yeah, it is my turn. Let's see. So I'm going to go with, you know, I just brought up Robin the Hood. I'm going to go with Mary. I love this song. When I remember, when I look back at listening to Robin the Hood, that's one of those where like later on, you're repeating the lyrics to it, hotter than a microwave oven. Like his lyrics are so like fun and kind of like cheeky at points, and very creative. And Mary is on my list. I'm hoping it's on your guys' list. What say you?
Not on mine.
Not on mine either.
Yeah, I had it. I actually had the live version with it because it had it had two songs added into it. So I really like that one a lot. But yeah, that was, again, it was part of my 98.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. So it's JC's turn now.
All right. So there's one that I wanted to have on here was What Happened, but it's the live version that also has Eyes of Fatima. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of that one. That one's on the acoustic album. It starts off with the What Happened song, but then it starts getting into It Was the Eye of Fatima. Oh, yeah.
Is that a cover, that section of it?
It sounds like it's a cover. It might be like a Jamaican song cover or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one of those. But yeah, that one's a really, really good one for me. I know that's probably not one of your guys', but I was going through, this one really, really, really gets me every time I hear it.
Yeah. So it's, say it again, the name of it, JC?
It's called What Happened.
Yeah, slash, What Happened, which is.
Yeah, slash Eye of Fatima. Yeah.
Okay. How about Jason? Did I make it onto your?
I thought it was on my list, but I must have had it on here when I was going through here because I was like, oh, I think I have this one. And then I went to my list. I was like, no, I don't actually.
Oh,
so I must have, it must have been a song that I thought about, but nope, it didn't make the 20. Okay.
All right. So Jason, it's your turn.
Okay, let's go with. Let's go with a deeper cut here, I guess. Maybe we'll. I don't know that I'm going to get any matches on this one, but this was actually a cover of the Grateful Dead,
which
I found really interesting. So Scarlet Begonias, like many of their samplings, they cover it, but it sounds fairly different if you've heard the original.
Yes.
And I really think they sold me on this one. I really think they did a good job with it.
They did a better job than the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. You got to give them credit for writing the original.
Yes, it's the Jimi Hendrix, Bob Dylan. It's like All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix is the superior version of that song, but Bob Dylan wrote it. So you got to give Bob Dylan credit. But yes, Scarlet Begonias is on my list. And JC, is it on yours?
It's not, unfortunately. Okay, it's a great album, too. That whole album is just amazing, man.
I fucking love that song.
And they did what Sublime likes to do, which is when they're sampling or covering things, they change the lyrics and make them their own.
Yeah.
So like they changed the lyrics in this to where the girl that they're singing about in the song actually ends up selling them out, I think, to the police or something in the song.
That's right. Yeah.
So they completely changed the context of it.
Yeah.
When they do their version,
the storytelling quality of a lot of their songs is very, I guess maybe comes from Jamaican style reggae songs. It's just like very storytelling, storytelling-esque. But all right. So yeah, Scarlet Begonias makes it onto the playlist and I'm very happy because that's a great tune off of 40 Ounces. All right. So my next one is, let me jump around my playlist here. I'll go back to the self-titled album, Garden Grove.
I've got it on here. That song has such a unique pace to it. I don't know. It's just a very, I don't know how to describe it, but the pace of that song is very unique. And it's talking about, we talked about this before, it's kind of talking about like hardships in life, really. You see, they're taking a trip to Garden Grove, but it's more about hard living, really, than that trip itself.
We took this trip to Garden Grove. Smelled like a Lou Dog inside the van. Oh, yeah. This ain't no funky reggae party.
And I think actually that might be the song where you talk about the
roots. Yes, I was just thinking about that now, where he's going down the list of like all the fucked up shit that he's putting up with, his dad being an asshole and taking Lou Dog for a walk or Lou Dog shitting in the van.
Yeah, it smells like Lou, Lou yes. Dog in the van. Yeah.
Yeah. JC, did that Garden Grove make it onto yours?
Of course, man. That's a, if I'm not mistaken, that's the first song on that album.
Yes.
Oh my God, dude! I believe, and we start.
I think you're right. Yeah.
We start listening to you know what were we talking about the other day with the one of the best first songs, Everything in His Right Place. That, that
from Radiohead. Yeah,
yeah, being the first song, it's that song that really gets you. Like this song, the way it starts off, it's just it's dope, man.
Yeah, I would have to say for a band that was just like, you know, only a couple, you know, three albums and mm-hmm. some side things, very prolific, and came out of the gate pretty strong for just them being some, you know.
You know,
some
you
young
know what
guys
I like
in California. Yeah,
I like about the song is that. How hard the drummer hits the drums, and mm-hmm. they talk. What is it, Bud? If I'm not mistaken,
Bud.
So they talk about it in a bunch of different songs, but this one right at the get go is just bow, bow. It's so loud. It sounds so cool, man.
It's slow and intense at the same time. Yeah. And that's what I was talking about, the unique pace of it. It's almost like you took the major melody or beat of this and you slowed it down on a turntable.
Yeah,
is almost like what it sounds like.
It's cool.
And it works really well. Yeah,
it
really
does.
Yeah, Eric Wilson on bass and Bud Gaw on drums.
Yeah.
I got to take this moment to bring up some other trivia. So, Jason, I brought up earlier that we went to see Offspring and Sublime with Rome was there as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were great, too. They were playing Sublime songs. And it's Rome with Bud and Eric. Mm-hmm. And as of 2023, as of last year, Rome stepped down and Jacob Noel, Bradley's son, is taken over as the lead singer, you know, the is replaced Rome and Bradley as the, so it'd be interesting. Did JC, did we not see a little video online of Jacob Noel playing? Yep. So how old would he be now? 96? Like, it's a grown man, essentially.
Yeah, 27?
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes now with those guys.
Yeah, he sounds pretty good too. It sounds different, but yet the same. It's like he's a better, I want to say, singer, like traditional singer than his father.
Yeah.
So he kind of has, but he's got a little bit of grit with a little bit of smoothness. It's pretty cool. Okay. It's different. Yet very, very familiar.
Okay. So
Bradley Noel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bradley Noel had like this unique ability to like, I wouldn't call it rapping, but like he could have like a conversational like take to a song where he's telling you a story, mm-hmm. but he'd keep his voice and pitch the whole time. And then he'd get sing-songy and then he would pitch. Yeah. He could really pitch up and down in different styles within the same song effortlessly. Mm-hmm. And I watched a video of his son singing some of the songs and you could tell he was emulating his father a little bit and doing some of that stuff. And it sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Brady Noel's mom was a singer. I think that's where he kind of inherited some of that. Like his family were in music somehow. And I think they split when he was like 12 or something. I don't know. But, and then I guess his behavior got a little off the rails. Mm-hmm. And then she actually ended up sending him to his dad. And his dad took him to the Keys, I think, is where he got introduced to the reggae ska stuff and fell in love with it. And just influenced his whole
early on
musical trajectory. Yeah.
He was into music early on. What I took away from his singing voice and, is also, bringing you in the inflection and stuff and how he sang certain parts really, I get a lot from like feeling or hearing genuine like pathos or emotion from songs when it calls for it. Mm-hmm. You know, when I listen to a Tool song or a Lana Del Rey song, a Sublime song, when the lyric calls for it and you can hear genuine, like it coming from a genuine place, that goes a long way for me. I'm like, oh man, I feel what they're feeling. And Bradley was really good at that.
He was. He was a good front man. I wouldn't call him a great singer, but he was a great vocalist. Yes. A great front man. Yeah,
for sure. So it's now JC's turn to provide another song.
There's another one that's out there that I'm not sure you guys will have it, but Foolish Fool off of their acoustic. Foolish Fool. Crazy Fool. Yeah.
I do not.
Good stuff. Oh, yeah, man. I don't have it on it.
Yeah, that one. I actually heard him recently singing that. The actual version of that was in somebody's living room, and he was playing it in somebody's living room. Yeah. Did I show it to you, Hector?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was just him playing in the living room, and somebody was recording it, and they put it on an acoustic album. And the way he was singing it with his eyes closed and how he was really stressing the words out, it was amazing. It sounded really cool. So it might have been right around the same time that we were talking about putting this list together. And from seeing that video, I couldn't take it off, man. There was an imprint in my brain that this song's amazing. I was able to hear it in that version. And it's the exact same version that's on the album. So it was really cool.
Okay, yeah. He recorded it there.
It was amazing. Yeah, super cool.
Okay, so now it's Jason's turn.
Okay, I think I put this one on the list because of its vibe. And I put Rivers of Babylon on here. Because this one, when I talk about their songs feel like hanging out with the band, this one is really feels like you're just hanging out with the band, this whole song. That's the whole vibe of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not on mine. Is it Jason, that's on 40 ounces?
I think it's at the end of 40.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I do remember it, but it did not make it onto mine. How about you, JC? Did that
No, it's not on there, but it has that I'm hanging out with my friends and we're all going to sing together type song. It's a... Yeah, that's great. No, I didn't. Again, part of my top 100 songs, but I struggled with.
All right, so I'm going to go next with a deep cut. One Cup of Coffee, Judge Not. It's off of Everything Under the Sun, which is a side album of some sort. I think it's the Judge Not is a cover, I guess, possibly. One cup of coffee, and then I'll go.
That's a great tune.
Anybody?
No.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Great
that
song.
One didn't make it.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's actually I think who's the original singer of that?
I'll look it up while we
It is a Bob Marley song, yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
So now it's JC's turn.
My turn.
Another song.
A fun one that I love, Get Out. I don't know if you guys are 100% aware with that one, but that one's a really, really fun tune.
Let's see if it's on mine. I think it might be. Let me see.
It's on their Secondhand Smoke album.
That's what I thought too, and then it's not on here.
No, it's not on mine either.
I've listened to all this stuff recently, so I keep thinking, yeah, that song, and then I'm like, oh,
yeah,
nope.
that one's super cool. It's got a little recording of their property manager at the place they're staying at, kind of yelling at him and whatnot. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay, Get Out. No, it's not on mine. Okay, Jason, your turn.
How about 5446, that's my number, / Ball and Chain.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
This one's unique because it's a cover of two songs at the same time. I think there was a reggae song called 5446, that is my number, and 5446, that was my number, and they combined them and then sampled something else and then made something new out of it. It's like a cover fusion almost. It's kind of cool. I like this song.
I didn't make it onto mine. How about you, JC?
No, it did, unfortunately.
Yeah, I remember it now and enjoying the shit out of it when I've listened to 40 ounces, but no, it did not make it on mine. Okay, four. Okay. So now it's my turn. Let's see. So keep just trying to go in there. I'm going to go with the one that I've been postponing, but it's the acoustic version of Pool Shark.
Mm.
It kind of goes to what I was referring to a moment ago about just like genuine just emotion being poured into a song. I went with the acoustic version, but I love the studio version just as much. But I went with the pull just because the song is so emotional that I went with. Anytime I hear it, it just breaks my heart. But I'm going with Pool Shark, the acoustic version off of Robin the Hood. Anybody else got that one on there?
No,
Pool Shark was really close on mine, but it,
yeah, I thought maybe you guys were gonna go with the, like, you guys just chose the punk version, right? am I wrong? Like, both versions are just as good. Like,
yeah, I think they have a live version of that one too, and that one was. Every single version of that song is good.
Okay, so now it's JC's turn.
My turn. Let's go with Waiting for My Ruka.
Man, another song. I was like, if I don't put this on the list, other people are going to have it. Like, I predicted some of these songs you guys were saying. Yeah. I was like, at least one of these guys are going to have this song because it's a great song.
Yeah. Again, the others.
But I was like, I can't approach the list with me thinking what other people, you know what I mean? Like,
I knew there was a lot of these you guys were going to have probably on here, but I'm like, man, again, mm-hmm. just the bass in it, the soft, how he comes in kind of soft into the song and just kind of builds up. And next thing you know, he's screaming in the song. I'm like, yeah, dude.
If we don't get to 20, then we can go back into.
Okay.
And advocate and pull out stuff that
I think we should get close, right?
Yeah, like, we're at 7. But then, like, I think on our list, like, I think that was your 11th one, I think it was, if I'm keeping track correctly. So then it's Jason's turn now.
Did you have Ruka?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
No.
So I picked this song because of the sound of it, not necessarily the context of it, but the song's called Seed. And I like this song because it's a very cool mashup of punk rock and reggae sounds that it goes flips back and forth and it does it seamlessly. I love this. It kind of reminds me of NoFX a little bit, some of the punk sounds to it. But yeah, but the song is essentially Seed. It's about getting a girl pregnant and then hoping her parents love her because he's not for sure if he's going to stick around. I think at the end of the song, he does stick around. But
JC, what about you? Do you have
that? It's not out there, man.
I did.
Such a
fucking love, man. I love the quick punk songs that they'll throw in.
Yeah.
Like a lot. I love this song, and it definitely makes it on. I'm glad because like I said, part of this is to kind of give like a broad sense of the band. And I was hoping one of these punk songs would end up on here. So Seed ends up on our playlist. Okay, so I'm going to provide another song here. I'm going to go with Don't Push. Let's see.
I definitely have that one. I remember putting that one on there.
Okay.
I didn't have it.
But it makes it onto the list since two of us don't.
I think the first line is like a line from Buffalo Soldier from Bob Marley. That's another thing he would do is he'd find these lyrics in these reggae songs he'd love and he'd borrow them and he'd just stick them in another song, like as kind of intertwined in what the story he was telling.
Okay. So JC, it's your turn.
Let's go with STP.
What does that stand for? It's a stone, secret tweaker pad.
Secret tweaker pad.
Yes, yeah. Secret tweaker pad. Yeah.
Yeah. Do I have it on mine? I do not have it on mine.
I think that's probably a top song of theirs, but I didn't put it on there just because in the context of a starter. But, but yeah. I'm not surprised it's on your list.
It ended up being kind of one of those slightly different than what they're used to songs that I guess for me, like with some of the other songs, of course, that we were listening to, some of them are little radio hits or whatnot, or one of those kind of like nice soft tunes. Like that one seemed pretty fucking, just seemed badass, man. I always love it.
So I got to tell this right now while we're recording. So I have my notes on my phone open because that's where I wrote my 20 songs down. and I don't know what I pushed, but it started narrating what I've been talking about on this podcast. So it literally looked down and there was like two paragraphs of what I was just talking about and long seed written in my notes. And I was like, what is, like, I had a surreal moment. I was like, did I just read everything I just thought right there, like off my notes? And I'm like, no, I didn't have all that written down. I just wrote it down.
Nice. Oh, it's like, man, this is so eloquent and well said. Oh, it's me. Oh, no. Okay, so what was that? SCP, right, mm-hmm. with JC? Okay, Jason, it's your turn to provide another song.
Okay. How about, you know what? This is, okay, so this I don't think is one of their best songs, but if it's a starter playlist, this is cool in context, Saul Red, because this is a matchup between No Doubt and Sublime, both of which bands that are influenced by the same kind of music, and both of which had not hit big yet.
Yes.
So they were unknowns at the time they collaborated on this song. So that in itself is cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's based on a popular, or like a really popular Jamaican song, She's Mine, and then they completely changed the lyrics but kept some of the actual musical elements to it.
I fucking love that song. She fucking wails. She's awesome in that. And that
mm-hmm.
that was around that era where Tragic Kingdom had come out, like a little after, or a little, but what, like whatever the time. It was close to me discovering. I guess maybe I discovered her first. It all blends together, but I was so into No Doubt in that first album. And we were listening to, me and JC had played Sunday Morning, right? Is that the name of that song?
Yeah,
off of Tragic Kingdom?
Yeah.
She was so fucking cool in that era. And it was such a perfect pairing of her and Bradley and Sublime. And it's definitely on my playlist.
Yep. Same here.
So that one makes it on to that's the one song that had to have been on this playlist, even though it's a collab. But it's definitely a. There's a live version somewhere that
there is
on an album,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, but we're gonna go with the studio album because it crescendos and she fucking like wails, like she just, oh man, it's so good. I try to give some more love to Robin the Hood. I went with Steppin' Razor. Anybody got that on theirs?
Yes. Yep.
I did not.
Love that song.
Sweet.
That's a really cool tune, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one's groovy in a way, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they did take something from the 60s and sampled it to make that song.
There's a lot of sampling going on in that album as well. Okay, so now it's JC's turn.
Down in Mississippi where the sun beats down from the sky. Same in the end. Same in the end. That's what that
yeah.
lyrics from. I really, really enjoy that tune. A thousand stories on that one, man. I love singing that in the car. It gets me hyped up, makes me drive a little faster. It's a lot of fun.
That is on mine as well.
100%, it's on mine. I think this might be their most ska song.
Yeah.
Really, like, really lean into the fast-paced ska punk music they have that I can recall. Yeah, it's a good one.
Okay, we're at 12 songs on this playlist.
It's a fun song to sing, too, man.
Yeah. Okay, Jason, it's your turn.
Well, when I talked about quintessential songs, have we said Santeria yet? I don't think we have. Mm. Might as well get it out there.
It is on mine.
Oh, yeah, of course, man.
Yeah, the music video with Lou Dog. And that's another one that had to be on here.
And I can't remember, is that right around the same time that he passed, too? That song kind of became pretty popular?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he was gone by the time this song got popular.
It was. I remember it being very soft and kind of like a going away kind of song.
Yeah, somber. You know, like a little bit. It's the argument which I've heard on Deprogrammed with Justin and crew there, where like they'll bring up a big radio hit, but if the song's good, it's good.
Yeah.
Like, you know me, I'm kind of like, it's on the radio, then I don't want to hear it. But sometimes, you know, sometimes Radiohead's Creep is also a great song.
Right.
But, it Smells Like Teen Spirit from Nirvana doesn't mean it's just because it's got radio play. It's not quality. So, let's see. It is my turn, right? You just said Santeria, right, Jason?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's my turn. Let's see here. I'm going to go with Greatest Hits off of Robin the Hood, the studio version.
I got that one, of course.
What? What?
Oh, man.
What? I had this on the list at one point. What happened? Did I push it off the list? Son of a B. Yeah, just write it down on the play. It needs to. That's a good song.
Yeah.
That one they have.
I had it on here.
They have it live too. Live version.
I like both of them. I think they're both great. But what's he talking about? Where he's too stoned to write this song, too drunk to hit the bong. I'm going to be president someday. It's a very fucking like inspiring. Like, play that shit in the morning when you're getting up to go to work. Like, let's see here. Except don't smoke a bong when you're just waking up, and don't be drinking that early. Let's see here. So, it is JC's turn.
All right. Let's go with what I got, man.
Let's see here.
I got it. I think this is a song that, right, this might be the first song you play when you try to get somebody into it. It's got a cool melody, and it kind of leads you right in, man.
It's not on mine, but it should be. But it makes it onto the playlist anyway, because both of you guys have it?
Yep.
You can play the guitar like a motherfucking riot, man.
Yeah, dude. This is great, great lyrics. Okay, so it's Jason's turn.
Let's see. How about Chica Mi Tipo, the Spanish version?
Yeah.
It has to be. The English version's not. Yeah, no, it has to be Spanish version. It sounds much better in Spanish.
Yeah.
Plus, we want to represent as much of their skills.
It's a short one, but it's a great melody. I love the melody.
Guess what? It's on my playlist.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Good. I didn't have it on mine, but man, I love that song.
Chica.
Mucho gusto. Me llamo Bradley. So good.
Okay. Now it's my turn. We're getting close, guys. We need four more to complete the playlist. So get your best ones on there, or whatever we have left on our playlist. I'm going to go with kind of something different again, since Jason just went with a little something off the beaten path. I got Drunk Driving.
Mm.
The song's only 18 seconds long, but it gets the job done. Anybody?
No.
I don't have it on.
No, I took it off. That was probably in my top 25. It was one of the last ones I cut out, yeah.
Yeah. All right, JC, it's your turn.
Crest Me Down. I think the last couple ones for me are going to be a little bit of MTV hits, but Crest Me Down.
Mm-hmm. Jason, you got that?
Yeah, I do.
So do I. It's fucking. We must.
It's an explicit one, but man, I love the mixture of English and Spanish, going back and forth like that. You don't hear that very often in songs.
Yeah.
And it sounds seamless. I love it.
Actually, that's the song that I was thinking about earlier, huh? Mucho gusto, me llamo Bradley. That was this song. Yeah. That's that song.
Nice to meet you. My name is Bradley. Yeah. It was like the reason why I think Rome didn't sing the song, because he didn't feel comfortable saying
that.
Oh,
right.
Really?
Yeah, I've read that recently as well. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Crest Me Down.
I love that the respect for other, you know, I mean, Yeah, I love that. You know, I because I'm sure now that Jacob Noel is taking over the band or that spot from Rome, I'm sure Rome's not like, I'm sure he's not shitty about it.
Oh, probably not.
Right, right.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers, John Frusciante, which is their longtime guitarist, Californication, and a lot of the big albums, jumped off for a couple albums in recent years, but then came back for the most recent albums. And the young kid that was on for two albums, I think, which he was pretty good. When John Frusciante came back, he wasn't shitty about it. He was like, oh no, like, respect. Like, this is your band. Like, this is always your band. I came in and I enjoyed what I did, but this will always be your band. And like, I like that respect and, just love for the music and for their respective bands is says a lot about a person. Let's see who which was the last one.
I did Crest Me Down. Yeah,
you did. Yeah. Crest Me Down. So that means it's Jason's turn.
So I mentioned this song earlier that it did help propel this band into notoriety, especially in California. And we'll just do Date Rape.
I got it.
Okay, it didn't make it onto mine, but it does definitely represents the band, especially it's kind of Me Too kind of angle. Yeah. On things.
It's satirical. Like he when you listen to it, he talks about somebody that performs actually sexual assault, and then that happens to them in prison, and then at Bradley the end, talks right. about how he doesn't feel sorry for him because you know, how could he. But yeah, the whole context of the song is, okay. It's sensitive.
Yeah. Let's see here. So, did I fucking run out of songs already? How does that happen?
I have one song left.
Yeah, and we need two more. So, I guess I'm going to...
I got one more.
Yeah, do you want us to go on our last two, and then if we don't get our 20, then we'll all kind of circle back to a song maybe that we missed out on?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. So, yeah, you guys go ahead. JC, you go first.
Doing Time and The Living's Easy.
Jason, do you have that one on
your... I don't, but I have no problem with that making the 20, though.
Let me write that down just as a...
And oh, they did another version of that too with Farside. It's cool as hell, man.
Yeah, that Farside version is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And that's the song that Lana recorded.
Oh, yeah, Eric, yeah.
Eric and Bud. Let's see, Farside version.
Not that one. That's not the one I was...
No, that's you just want the original Doing Time. Okay, and Jason, what do you have left?
What about Jailhouse?
I was just looking at that song.
Okay. It's a slightly quintessential, I would say, song for Sublime.
Let's see here. What else do I want? I'll go... I don't think this one came up at all. Wrong Way?
Yeah, we didn't. Did I say it?
Mm-mm. No, that didn't make it.
No.
Okay. So we need two. And let's see here. Let me go down the list here and see what else. Caress Me Down. What I got. So two of these three songs that we just threw out, we're going to have to advocate for and kick one out. I'm Jailhouse. What album is that? That's on the self-titled.
Self-titled, right? Yeah.
How does that go? Anybody got that off the top of their head?
Ruby gets plenty. Baton stick get shorter. That song?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So let's vote. I'm gonna vote for two of them. Don't say which ones. I'm not gonna say. You guys vote individually. We got Jailhouse, Doing Time, and Wrong Way. I've got the two that I want to advocate for, because we have two spots left on the main playlist. So quietly choose two of these songs, both you guys individually, and then we'll announce them and see if which songs make it onto the playlist. This was a lot of fun. This playlist is going to be fucking strong, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go down the list so far while you guys are writing down. Between Jailhouse, Doing Time, and Wrong Way, you guys pick the two out of the three, which was you guys would want to advocate for, and then we'll figure it out. So as of right now, the main playlist is DJs, April 29, 1992, Bad Fish, Smoke Two Joints, 40 Ounces to Freedom, Scarlet Begonias, Garden Grove, Seed, Don't Push, Saw Red, Step and Razor, Same in the End, Santeria, Greatest Hits, What I Got, Chica Mi Tipo, Caress Me Down, Date Rape, and we have two spots left. So, JC, you're probably going to advocate for Doing Time since you brought it up, but which is the other song that you...
Jailhouse.
Okay. So...
I'm actually listening to it one where I'm listening to you guys here and then all the songs over here.
Jason, what are the two that you picked out of?
Jailhouse and I did Wrong Way.
Okay.
The song context is a little gross, but the melodically it's really that band. It's really.
Okay. I went with Jailhouse and Wrong Way because I got again with the Jimi Hendrix, Bob Dylan situation. I think Lana did a better job with Doing Time. So that's why that particular song, even though it's a fucking great song, and it would fit in really well with this playlist, but that's why it did. That was my 21st song, was Doing Time. And that's how I knocked it off, was I was like, I prefer the Lana version. So... we're going to add Jailhouse and Wrong Way to this playlist to top it off.
Blasphemous, and... Hector.
Yeah. Wrong Way, Jailhouse and Wrong Way. What I like about her cover too is that it had them in with her.
Yeah.
It was Eric and Bud along with her, so it wasn't like she was off by herself. Making the track, and she adds her kind of, and one of my favorite lyrics in any Sublime song is in that song, which is "My Burning Sun Will Someday Rise." I was like, God, what a beautiful, that's fucking poetry, man.
Yeah.
Great songwriter, very prolific. Like, I mean, all these songs that we named off on our individual playlists, like, that's insane that they came up with that many songs. And, you know, I mean, the Beatles, like, for the small amount of time the Beatles were together, just were writing machines. They wrote so many fucking songs and so many good songs. And it's something to be said about being prolific, you know. Blink-182, right, is another band you can say is, like, super prolific. I mean, they have so many albums and so many songs and, the, you know, different lengths of songs and different kinds of songs, but just... And Blink-182, all three of them wrote songs, or just the two guys?
I think they all played a part. Yeah, they all played a part. Even to the point where they had Travis every once in a while make up songs where he would play something on the drums, and then they would come in and try to create a song that way instead of the other way around. You know, usually you get some guy playing, and then they kind of go from playing guitar, playing bass, and they did it differently from drums outward.
Travis Barker and forget the other guy's name in that band, because they just got back together.
Mark Hoppus,
yeah. Okay. Which is Mark's kind of been the lead, the lead singer mostly, but
back and forth.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's our playlist, and we'll definitely have a link in the show notes to this playlist, our Spotify playlist. Yeah, so it was, I'm not going to repeat all the songs that I just repeated on here, just named off on here, but Jailhouse and Wrong Way topped it off. And we represented a lot of their albums. Yeah, 40 Ounces is probably their best album, I think. Followed by closely by Killing It, their self-titled album, and then Robin the Hood has got some. It's kind of like a mixed bag of stuff in there. It's very just experimental, right? Doesn't it feel more experimental?
Yeah.
Robin is the Hood. The one where the last track is literally "Thanks," where he thanks people?
Yeah. Is that the same? Is that the right one? Yeah, I think it is.
Is that right? Where's that 40 ounces?
I think it's 40
it's one
ounces.
Of the two. Yeah. Yeah. Just starts naming people. Yeah.
Crucial Thanks.
Yeah. All right, guys. Let's see. I don't think I had anything else in my show notes. Again, I just want to give a shout out to Justin on the program for coming up with a great idea for a podcast. It's one of those ideas for a podcast where I'm like, man, I wish I would have came up with that. Even though that's a lot of fucking work. Like, he will put it out there for people. If you're a fan of this band, if you're a fan of Guns N' Roses, if you're a fan of Motley Crue, why am I going with 80s bands? Pearl Jam, whatever, then, you know, if you want to be on the podcast, he gets two super fans on there, then if he's not a fan of those bands, then he listens to their entire discography, which is a big ask, because, like, one of the things about podcasting that I've learned is that, like, I don't want to make it feel like homework. Like, I want to enjoy it, even though there's some work to be put into it, you know, like programming, you know, just coming up with ideas and stuff and getting stuff together and getting everybody lined up to record. Listening to every Billy Joel album is something, or just whatever random band they have lined up for that particular episode of Deprogrammed. Like, bravo to Justin for, like, you know, I mean, you'll probably come across some cool bands that you have no problem listening to their entire discography. But, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to want to listen to the entire discography of Devo.
Justin has listened to a lot of music.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to be like, Lou Dog. He's going to end up going deaf because of all the music.
Yeah. So, you guys feel pretty good about this, with our playlist. I think we got a lot of our songs on there. I can't think of a song that, I'm upset that did make it on there. Let me see if I can, and we'll start wrapping up here.
There's the Work That We Do. That one's a really good one. Yeah. That one that I knew that you guys wouldn't have on it, but it's just it's a momentous moment in my life when I heard it live, with, Sublime with Rome. Was it with Rome? Whatever it was. No. It was Long Beach Dub All-Stars. I watched them about a month and a half before I joined the military. And it was the last time I ever got really close to some ganja. So for me, yeah. And it was in like a garage area. It was like a compacted inn. And of course, the whole place was just...
I didn't inhale.
Oh, I inhaled like a motherfucker, man. It was awesome. but that song came on, and it just hit right when that song came on. Mm-hmm. And Work That We Do, man, it was pretty awesome.
Mary, for me, was one that I hoped it made it on, but I'm okay that it didn't. Jason, do you remember one that you wish had made it on? Or I know Drunk Driving didn't make it on. I was kind of hoping for that one.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy overall, but yeah, I sometimes when you're talking about the listening, hearing a song live sometimes can change your perspective or your love of a song.
Yes.
Yeah, both positive and negative sometimes.
I agree.
But depending on how the band performs, but yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I can't think of one off the top of my head. I'm pretty happy with, cause some of the songs that went on there that I didn't have on my list, like, I've got no issues with them being on the list, you know, because just I had to make 20 one way or another. Mm-hmm. So
like I said, the playlist, there'll be a link in the show notes, for our Spotify playlist. for Sublime. And let's do, okay, so coming up on Mind Grenade, I talked to Jason about this off air. Me and Jason are going to try to do episode recaps of the Netflix series The OA. So that's kind of in the working. So we're going to kind of try that out. I'm going to try to have regular episodes kind of the same week. We'll do regular episodes of Mind Grenade with The OA coming out. And looking forward to that because JC's watched that show. I've had a Mind Grenade listener, a shout out to Z over in the Starbucks in Springfield. She recommended it to me right after JC recommended it to me. And so we're going to do that. I've not watched it. JC's watched it. It'll be his rewatch. And we're going to do little recaps of that for Mind Grenade. But, and then Jason, just a, kind of a relaunch of Listen Impossible just happened recently. You guys are a couple episodes in.
Yeah. So the kind of the way Listen Impossible works now is that one of the three of us, or actually all three of us, give everybody else either a TV show, a movie, or a piece of music or something else that they need to consume. And then we give each other time to do that. And then we come back and then we talk about it. Hmm. So it's not, it could be something that they love and they want to hear what everybody else has to think about it. And we all talk about it. Sometimes it's, we all love it, but there are instances where someone will throw something out there because they think it's awful or somebody hate it and they want other people to experience it. We're going to record one coming up. Matt on Mind Grenade talked about his not so good love for Jeremy Renner. Guess what we're going to do? We're making him listen to Jeremy Renner's new album.
Damn.
And wow. We're going to talk about it on an episode.
Should be a fun episode. Yeah. That's great. So yeah, Listen Impossible can be found anywhere finer podcasts are found. For all things Mind Grenade, like a feed of the podcast, my art gallery, they can all be found at mindgrenadestudios.com. So thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. This has been Hector for Jason and JC saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon.